And I want to thank the Pringle Center and the board for letting us hold our meeting here. Larry Thomas is going to give us a little short talk. Before he does that, I'm going to briefly explain what this is to our youth and governors, our supervisors that haven't been out here. The Pringle Nature Center is a piece of land that was donated by the Pringle family. The use was to be a nature center. It was held for quite a period of time before the county had the monies to develop it. I was fairly new on the county board when we began that. And it's currently run by a nonprofit. I'm sure you've seen the minutes that we get every month from them. And Barry Thomas is going to briefly discuss some of those things with us. But it's amazing the amount of people that I know that don't know of the Pringle Nature Center. They've really started to do a lot of PR that I notice in the local newspapers on their programming, the school's programming, and all the events that are held out here. So if one thing happens from us holding a meeting out here, I would hope that the county board supervisors, the staff, everyone would just tell someone about this place, and word could spread, because it's really advanced, specifically in the last 10 years, what's happening out here. So I want to welcome everybody and thank the Pringle Nature Center for having us here. Roll call. We have everyone.
Everybody but Colbert.
Supervisor Colbert, yes. Youth and governance are both here. I'm assuming he'll be here because he usually
runs a few minutes
right.
Early. Yeah.
And he might show up at 45. We'll see. Chairman, committee members, supervisor, youth and government comments. I'm just going to say a couple things this evening. I already did about the Pringle Nature Center. Mr. Rudy's going to definitely, and Mr. Harbin, fill you in on all the storm damage that we've had. I know you've all read reports, and I'm sure driven by some of the things we've had happen in the past week and a half. And I really want to commend our highway department, parks department, for the work that they've done on those events. For the highway department to jump in, and Mr. Rudy's group could never have handled what happened, and you've seen what happened at the Kemper Center. And everyone has work to do, so I know that really weighs on schedules, things that we had planned to do. I know those gentlemen will fill you in on those. The other thing I want to mention is the phenomenal job, if you take a ride around, that happens at our county parks. One little instance this weekend, Fox River Park, which is kind of, many times people call it a sleepy little park, they wonder what happens out there. Well, in the fall, there's soccer teams galore. In the summer, they have the youth football starts up in the fall again. This weekend alone, Mr. Rudy and the Parks Department sponsored a Revolutionary War reenactors weekend that had the full uniform militia, had the kitchen set up, had everything set up. The Boy Scouts were selling, had a food stand going. Mr. Arvin, in fact, one of his guys gave me a bratwurst and things yesterday when we visited. But that was one of the things happening at Fox River Park. There was another bicycle rally at the other end. There was a disc golf tournament going on. If you went parking lot 1, 2, 3, they were all full. And that was for the weekend. So these are the types of things that, you know, people see little articles on. If you visit these parks and see what our Parks Department is doing, specifically the promotions that Mr. Rudy did this past weekend, very commendable, and it was so well done. The only thing that I can say is there was so much going on this weekend that they were competing against a lot of things, but I did see a good turnout of people, and it's worth going out and seeing where these places are, if you haven't seen them, just seeing what's going on the weekend. Since our last meeting, just make a small comment on the Katy Park. I know the trees, there were some trees planted out there. This week, the work crew is working on trails. If you followed my report at our last county board meeting, the county executive did not agree with our opening that park on weekends. And we're back to every other weekend. And that apparently is the way it is going to be this year. So unless anybody has any specific questions on that, I thought at this meeting, with the welcoming arms of the Pringle Nature Center, we probably wouldn't want to get into any arguing over parks this evening. So that'll be the end of my comments. Any committee members, supervisors, youth and government? Supervisor, yes?
I would just like to report that Wally Zirbel invited me to come out and take a look at the baseball diamonds out at Brightondale Park. And showed me around, so I took advantage of that. They were having a little league tournament going that day, so there were several teams there, and of course lots of people that I knew when I was there, so that was kind of nice to see some locals as well as a lot of people that were from out of town. But he gave me a tour of the building that they put up. The Little League has put the building up, and so showed me all the facilities, and it's a very, very nice park. And again, I'm sure a lot of you have been out there if your kids play Little League or play baseball. But if you haven't had an opportunity to go see that, again, it's a beautiful park, three baseball diamonds, all Little League specifications, whatever, dugouts, the whole nine yards. So it's really, really nice, and take advantage and go see it if you have a time.
Excellent. This is definitely a showcase. I was out there when we had the first pitch throw, and what they did, that's a private-public combination of working together.
Right.
And they got all kind of contributions. We gave them free rein out there. They have, when they get tournaments there, people from Northern Illinois, all over the Midwest, that's where they want to be. They can't believe that we've got that.
Right.
So that is something people should go out and see.
I think they have in this fall, I think they have a couple national tournaments that are going to be held there.
Oh, so
for the Little
League. They say it's the best field here,
right?
You know, in the Midwest.
So we are going to try to take advantage of some of those people too, as well as working on giving them some kind of a deal possibly at the golf course so that they could utilize both facilities, because sometimes when their kids aren't playing, they're looking for other things to do as well. So. Maybe we can do a little of both, a little PR.
Any other supervisors? Youth and governance, any comments, questions? We'll move on to citizens' comments. Comments could be on any item to address this committee. You'd have 5 minutes to speak, and we just ask that you give your name and address, and feel free. Any citizens' comments? Yes, sir.
Larry Fitzgerald, 162 23 93rd Street. I'm one that lives right over here at Lyme Joint Place. I have to update you a little bit about the history. This was not all owned by the Pringles, period. It's about roughly 240 acres here. And I used to come here and go a long way before there's anybody old here that's been here long. And I got to talk a lot about Mr. Edwards. He used to live in my corner. He used to take care of a lot down there. He used to tell me a lot of the stuff way back in the 20s and 30s, and all he used to cut, Tony used to let him come here and cut wood out, and really put pressure on some of these surrounding people to take this land. And nothing against the Pringle family, but if you ever really want to know how the sheep talk, Mrs. Pringle lived right at the entrance. She's dead now. She told me many times she was great anger. The biggest problem with this park system is you do not communicate with the people around you to get their ideas before it. Without a doubt, the biggest ridiculous thing was they put the 240 acres, they put the outhouse within 20 feet of the people's land there. I guess I can hit the top of the park first. I checked with our county board, and down here, I'm right down here working on everything, stuff is what I do and everything, and you see the people in and out here a lot. And I was the one with the third last comments that we had, Collins. And I suggested, why don't we have all these people let around and keep up, they had put all the stakes of the trees all the way down to Mrs. Pringle's place, all around here, down here, and all of a sudden when the trees came in, they tore out all the stakes and just put these here, up here. They never protected the people over there. And then my other problem when I bought the land, for two couple reasons why I bought the other 8 acres overlapping. We spent, there was old Edwards family, these down here for God knows the beginning of time. We cleaned out the tree lines and put the stone there. And on the tree line, I had a huge pile, and nobody issue came up before. You just said the truth that they took it. Well, what really ticked me off about it is I came back here one time, just politely, and I asked the guy working here, I said, who wants to put a great big tent up here? How can we do that? Put a gigantic tent just for a party up here. I says, who are you? He wouldn't tell me. I says, can I see your ID? They wouldn't shut, tell me. If I understand, if you ask how many employees, anybody, they're supposed to tell you who you are and show your ID. And that was the one, our second last county exec that I suggested that to a while ago, not because I said it, he had all county employees have their ID. And the thing about the thing over here is, I mean, there's something down here. I mean, they don't have no idea the city people that run out here. They have huge fires out here, and sometimes they've been blown into this woods and everything like that. They don't know the ash is going to go in there and start a fire. And it shouldn't be allowed. So anyway, I'm also positive because those people that worked here in this park that took that huge 10-yard load of stone I piled up over the years, some of it right at the edge of the park lane, and right there, they cleaned just about all of it out. And I was very big angered at that. And a lot of you people here, you just move on park for your property, you just call a truck up and haul it in before you and you buy it. Another thing they never did too is when they had these 262 people sign the petition to get all these roads south of 50, west of the I, down to 45. If anybody, and it's never going to happen until one of you, pardon me for saying this, I don't want to wish you get killed, but probably paralyzed, and then one of you guys get paralyzed, then you're going to have these people introduced. This is a death trap right out here. You look either way, the cars are coming by there just like crazy coming home from work on the eye. Now, another thing that really got me coming to this here was the highway department. About the second week of last month, I'm out there working on the plane outside and seeing back and forth, and I ain't useless, you understand my attitude. I used to work for a Starlink truck and a 55-gram truck before I went to Vietnam. And got the years experience working with all these highway department stuff. And here they are with graders redoing the shoulders. They went by 7 times with a grader just to level the road a little bit in the shoulder. And then they came back with a disc. The disc, I mean, you definitely need one grader with two side bowlers, plows, to do that. And just a daring waste of money. And that's one reason I brought up this issue about GPSs. We've got to get GPSs on the same. And another thing is the snow plows. I want all of you, which you will never do, go down my road and take a look at my friend and all my trees in front. And they went through every legal thing with the county department stating the county and Gary had signed it. He missed it. I got the papers. They had no, they didn't, it was the cars that did it. It wasn't a snowplow. So I got actual pictures where they threw that snow over 60 feet into my pond and sludge it. So I just wish they'd put some deflectors on the snowplow things too. Now another thing too is, I just talked to the woman that bought the place down here, David, the guy that had the landscaping place. And they've yet to be approached to see who signed. This is boring. Listen, okay? They haven't even approached them to buy the land for their roundabout there yet. And there was another accident. And one thing about the county sheriff's department, I have great admiration for them. But I tried to find out we had an accident there when I didn't even know what happened out there. A very bad one. They had a tired woman out. Take her up to the hospital and walk with a helicopter. And you call it the sheriff's guy that's in charge of that now, and he says, well, you've got to come in, you've got to pay $1 for every report. Why can't they just tell you? And I bet you the county highway department should, don't even get an accident reports at all. They should know which accidents are. But for the people that don't, are against that, roundabout you go up to 45 and Highway 20, I personally one time was up there and I went into that restaurant that just opened, brand new one that built there from an old stand. And she said, they're poor. Maybe a little bit bigger, she said, but there are other little credit vendors that help their business a little bit. And it really is a benefit to have these roundabouts, turnabouts, whatever you want to call them. Another thing is, I mean, there's no common sense to some of these guys in the highway. I'm like all campaigns get really dull. They're informants we got in the highway park. They got personal cars, and they don't give a darn if they can use that county. I meant the county cars, and they use it for their personal business. And but they put a post right in the center of all the heavy flooding we got down there. And I realized that one good idea of having around the out for it anyway is they put the Galdar Highway post right in the center of the ditch and trap all the water coming up. And that's why so much was trapped behind.
Mr. Michelle, I've let you go 8 minutes.
Huh?
I've let
okay.
you go.
Time goes fast for me. But you know, one thing about all you guys, you think the highway department guys would just come down, hey, Larry, we want to give you your suggestions and stuff. They won't even talk to you. So, and one last thing with the park, I just told him, there's nothing out here by that outhouse. When they put that fence down the trees, people can drive right down to the property and everything. There's no restriction there. Keep the people in. They don't know where the park really is. So, if you're interested, talk to me later, Bob. Thank you for your evidence.
Thank you. Any other citizen comments? If not, Mr. Thomas, Barry Thomas from the Pringle Board is going to give us a little information or...
Yes, sir. Good evening and welcome to the Pringle Nature Center. As you alluded to, we always call ourselves the best kept secret in Ocean County. How many are here for the first time? So, we do have a lot of things going on, and a lot of it is because of the support that we receive from you. Allows us to employ our full-time naturalist, and she's responsible for a lot of the things we see going on out there. A few of our board members are here tonight too that I'd like to introduce our secretary. Katie Leifold is a volunteer coordinator. Mitch Stillmeister is a board member. He runs our walk on. He works on prairie restorations and things out there. Our naturalist, they all have their. She's actually going to give the report, but she's the one who does all the work, so she's the one that should get credit for that. I also wanted to compliment John and the staff for the big snowstorm last winter. He called me out and I said, I don't know, when are we going to be able to get the center open? I said, what's the problem? Because being a retired guy, I was on the beach down in Florida during the snowstorm. I said, what do I know? He said, we got 2 feet of snow out here. And Dal had a birthday party right away, and Nick Murphy came out and on his day off, got it plowed out and got it opened up. So we've gotten a lot of support from the park staff out here and the park people to keep the place open and keep the grounds nice and repair the roof up here and so on. So we really appreciate what you do for us. And we hope that you appreciate what we're able to offer to the people of Ocean County as well. We really like to have Valerie Mann, who's a naturalist. And I think you've probably noticed a lot more going on in the last 2 years than the previous 20. And a lot of it's due to her efforts. She's out here 5 days a week. Actually, today's a day off. And she's here. She goes above and beyond what we ask her to do. She has campfire programs, all kinds of things going on. If you have kids or grandkids, you can check our website, pick up a brochure. There's always things going on. We've got summer camps going on. And I'll let you kind of highlight a few of the things that we're getting.
So, for actually, with all the promotion items, we end up a little bit to everybody. With all the promotion I've been doing, we've been getting a lot more visitors out here. A lot of our programs have increased in numbers. This past winter, we had a winter solstice night, and we actually got a new volunteer from that program who's going to help us with grants and marketing and getting our name out there even more. So, we won't be as hidden. Beginning of the school year was kind of a little bit low with school programs because there had been a new superintendent. But come the spring season, we got our numbers back to where we'd like them to be. Currently, our summer programs, last year wasn't working so well with the week-long programs for the older kids. So now we've opened it up from 4 years old up to 9 years old. And My 4-8 age range has been getting a lot of kids out here, so we spend time outdoors exploring nature. We try to avoid the woods a little bit because of mosquitoes, but for the most part, we've got the kids out and exploring nature. I've been able to get several new partnerships with the Nature Center. 1% for the Planet is an organization that partners nonprofits with for-profit businesses, and the for-profits donate 1% of profits to a nonprofit, so that's one place that we're looking at. We've also partnered with the Bird's Nest, which is a bird store, just right by the interstate on Highway 55 Woodbins there. During our Fall Fun Fest, they came and sold birds, and we get a little bit of the money from that to go use in their store to help feed the birds out here and get more bird seed. We've also partnered with the Little Red Schoolhouse. It's a nature center down in Chicago, part of the Forest Preserve District. And they've donated for us so far some geese for our displays, and they're going to help us out with some more of the supplies we kind of need to run the place. And then Parkside just hired, about a year ago, they hired an education coordinator for the Cedar Center, which is in the old Southport Beach House. As of last month, we found out his position wasn't really funded, so that's kind of up in the air right now. As for programs, as I said, we've got a lot coming up. We've got the Saturday, we've got one of the Saturday Night Campfire Talk series, as well as in August, we're going to be open for the Gemini's meteor showers. We like to say this is the best open sky in the ocean to see the stars, so hopefully the sky will be open for that. We've also gotten some more donations. The view over here is going to be turned into our fish table. It was donated from DePaul University. Colleen Murphy Fish actually helped us get that. The artist who designed it with the students unfortunately died in a train accident, so it's up here. His friends are looking to put a plaque for that, so as soon as we get lights for that, it's going to be our fish table. We also have a wonderful nature library going on right now where people can come in, look at a book, a nature themed book, and you know, we've got stuff for kids and for adults, and, especially our nature story time hikes. We've been getting a lot of kids out for that program as well. And then also we received a grant to purchase some major supplies that we've needed to kind of help out with the educational programs that we do. We've got an inflatable planetarium now for our astronomy program. We've got snowshoes, so people can come out here in the wintertime and rent snowshoes instead of saying, we're allowed to buy snowshoes or not, so they can rent them here for cheap. We try them out to see them if they like it, as well as just some various other essential components that we've needed for some of our program. Are there any questions for myself? Pretty much a very special.
Any questions? If not, we thank you. And the only thing I would say to everyone here, if you've never been here, or even if you have, my wife and I have been back since I was first here and done the hiking and things. Just tell somebody or bring somebody out there, they'll be amazed. You know, what's so close for those of you in Kenosha, not so far for those of us on the West End. And it's like a little piece of the Kettle Moraine here that people don't know is here. So we thank you very much. Now we're going to go on to the boring stuff. Oh, no, it's not boring. Review of the Chapter 3 Parks and Open Space Plan, David Filling. I'm sorry about that, hey, Mark.
Sorry?
Yeah.
This is the third chapter of the county plan. It's the second inventory chapter. Last time we reviewed land use and natural resource type information. And this chapter is the inventory of existing park and open space sites. The commission originally did a detailed inventory back in the early 70s. That was updated a couple times, but most recently as part of the Kenosha County Comprehensive Plan in 2006. And then we made an effort here to update it again to the year 2010 for this plan. And we try and be as comprehensive as possible. We identify state, county, local school districts, nonprofits, and private recreation and open space sites. And we also include in this chapter inventory of National Register of Historic Places. And I'll just flip through, and if you have questions, this chapter's kind of light on text and heavier on maps and tables, but...
Everyone should have a copy of this. You all have copies.
It's in, should have got two pieces. One was the chapter and then the appendices that are referenced in the chapter. Starting off, we've got the sites that are owned by Kenosha County. The county owns 12 sites. Six of the sites we categorize as major parks. Those are the larger, typically over 100 acre sites that are kind of destination sites that typically have multiple uses. And we've got the six county major sites, Brightdale, this location, Bristol Woods, West End Park, Fox River Park, Silver Lake Park, and Petrifying Springs. In addition, the county owns six other sites that we've listed, including the Kemper Center that you had done, we talked about a little bit earlier, and Old Settlers Park. And got some sites there, part of the ongoing Fox River flood mitigation project. We've included, in the appendix there, we've included maps of the six major parks in Old Settlers Park, same as what's on the county's website. Since I did this, we actually, the county's gone through and done a couple of updates to the sites. We'll make sure we get those into the final report. There's a couple things missing on the ones that were on the county site. We have a laundry list then of the sites, and then we have a second table that identifies the types of resource facilities that are there: play fields, playgrounds, golf courses, picnic areas, swimming beaches, trails, boat launch, that type of thing. Again, the focus on this plan is on county sites and the recreation-oriented facilities like picnicking, camping, golf, water boating, that type of thing. We also include maps, the same map, the sites owned by the state of Wisconsin, about 25 sites, owned by about 7,500 acres, owned by the state. 16 of the sites are owned by the DNR. 5 sites are owned by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. 4 sites are owned by the University of Wisconsin. The DNR, continuing on page 3, I am anyway. We also show the DNR project areas where the DNR, as they have funds, on a willing seller, willing buyer basis, attempts to acquire lands within the identified project areas. Of course, you've got Bong Recreation Area, the big player in the county, huge site, provides for a range of activities, including activities that typically aren't available on a lot of the park sites, ATV trails, horse trails. I know they even accommodate rocket clubs go out there and able to do that, vulcan training, all kinds of things that are really unique actually in southeastern Wisconsin for accommodating those types of activities. DOT, those sites are, 3 of them are wetland mitigation. Over the last fairly recent time, DOT, they're subject to the same regulations for protecting wetlands as everybody else. And they've acquired sites, including in Kenosha County there, where they have road projects where they have to replace wetlands that they're filling. They have a site where they restore wetlands. So they go out and acquire long-term. Who knows, they may, once they restore the wetlands on those sites, a lot of times they transmit those then to the DNR as part of a project area. And lastly, for the state, University of Wisconsin Parkside has areas, a pretty extensive area that's used for recreational open space purposes. They also own a few other sites there. They have some critical natural area sites in Kenosha County. And in Appendix B, we've got detailed maps and tables for sites owned by local governments, school districts, and other public districts. Of those, 253 sites are owned by local governments, cities, towns, and villages. 51 sites are owned by school districts. And you got one site that's owned by the District of Powers Lake. Any questions to this point? I'll go on to the private public interest sites. Included in Appendix B are private outdoor recreation sites, including private golf courses, private boat access sites, campgrounds, ice skating facilities, swimming beaches, subdivision parks. There's 79 of those, encompassing about 3,600 acres. In addition, we have a map that shows private resource protection sites. Typically, in here anyway, the Kenosha Racine Land Trust and Kenosha and Racine County is very active. They've got a site, and the Nature Conservancy also has sites that they are very active in the Shawaki Prairie area. And then you have, in the county, you have two other, I'll say, single site conservation organizations. In addition, while it's not a big a player as in other counties, there are conservation easements that permanently protect some open space sites. You have four of those in Kenosha County. If you go back 10 years ago in southeastern Wisconsin, there was virtually none of those. Now there's literally hundreds of those. Kenosha, you only get 164 acres, but it's becoming a bigger and bigger player now in preserving resources as people often donate the conservation easements on their properties. Continuing lake and water river access, got 12 major lakes that are entirely within, and you have five that are partially located, providing great source of recreation, be it swimming, boating, fishing. And all of those have public access to them, with the exception of Cross Lake, those are the major lakes, eight lakes that are 50 acres or larger. And all of those have public access for motor boating, with the exception of Cross Lake, Dyer Lake, and Volks Lake. Trails and bicycleways, regional plan identified, the regional park and open space plan identified a fairly extensive network of hiking and biking trails, about 440 miles, including about 72 miles in Kenosha County associated with, these are the what we call recreation corridors, so they're generally associated with some resource. Kenosha County is Des Plaines, Fox, Pike Rivers, Pike Creek, and then loosely along Lake Michigan. In your case, it's the Kenosha County Bike Trail. And that's the 16 miles of the recommended corridor trail system that exists, are the 16 miles associated with that Kenosha County Bike Trail. We also include a map that shows all existing bikeways and trails in Kenosha County. We've broken it into three different kinds: on-street bikeways, typically used for bikes only; shared off-street trails that could accommodate bikes and pedestrians. And in winter, you could have snowshoeing or cross-country skiing. And then there's a number of other recreation trails. Many of them are in the county park systems, where they're only open to pedestrian travel. And in the case of the Long Recreation Site, they can have a horseback, pretty lengthy horseback riding trail there. to include in the appendancy. That's a typo that should be map C. If I look at it. On page 6 of the middle, it references map B1 and appendix B. That should actually be C. We've got the system that's identified in the commission's long-range regional transportation plan. Those recommendations now are being in the process of being reviewed and developed as part of the countywide comprehensive plan that the county undertaking. I know they've created a map to show the existing trails, and more recently, I think, have done an analysis of evaluating where the existing trails could be better signed or marked, and then continuing work. And we're referencing what that plan will be when it's completed. Another year, probably, for that, maybe something like that. Yeah. But that'll refine in detail then that map that's in this plan. And lastly, we include a map of historic sites, specifically sites that are in the National Register of Historic Places. While the State Historical Society, they've identified over 900, actually close to 1,000 historic sites in Kenosha County. The ones that get the most discussion are those National Register sites. And in Kenosha County, you've got 21 sites in 3 districts, and we've got those on map 5 and a laundry list. But we didn't show, I thought about showing on the map. We also have 2 shipwreck sites that are credited to the county. But you'd have to have a fold-out map because they're out there. So instead of trying to erroneously identify where they are, someone will look at that map and say, it's right out there. Now it's 12 miles east and 6 miles east. But we've included a mention of those two, since they give them credit to the Kenosha County. That's the inventory of park and open space sites in Kenosha County. There's been a lot of stuff going on compared to some other counties, anyway. Any questions?
Excellent. If anybody knows where Dyer Lake is.
Anybody know where Dyer Lake is?
Okay. Boy Scout campground up there.
Oh,
the photo.
That's how you like to mention it. But nobody would know that.
Just a quick question. Item 7 on the last page here, it just says 10% of the total area of the county in private or public. How does that stack up with other counties and other? Are we average?
Yeah, well, maybe compared to some of the, you know, the ones that have the Kettle Moraine flying through there, those are a little bit higher, but you're right in the ballpark of when you compare it to, yeah. Now, this is the last of the inventory chapters. The next chapter will be what we call our standards and needs analysis. So we have park and open space standards that will apply to the existing sites and facilities that you have. Go through and see what that says. You know, does it say you're well served or are you lacking in something? And again, we'll look at major park sites, water access, and then the resource-related facilities such as camping, picking, trails, golf. We'll look at those, and again, the focus will be on the resource-related. There's the standards when you see them have loaded with stuff for more urban uses, for softball, baseball, tennis, swimming, pools, that type of thing. We'll state in there that while the county may provide some of those facilities, it's likely it'll be the local communities, the urban areas will be the ones that will, because the service radius is there, you know, a half a mile to a mile, where a lot of those resource-oriented things will be, the service radius is 5 miles, 10 miles, something like that, depending on the urban areas, how densely populated. When you get over to Kenosha, that service radius is 4 miles, and when you're out in the western part, it'll be 10 miles. We also raised the flag on some other, I'll say, more recently popular resource activities that standards aren't developed for, will raise those, but in cases there are things like mountain biking, disc golf, dog parks, things that you guys are ahead of the curve on, but we'll raise those simply to give some county credit on those that, you know, for example, Ozaukee County does not have, they don't own them. There is no public dog park, there is death three. So you guys are, and those are becoming increasingly popular. Skate parks, those type of things, there's no standard for those, but we may raise those as things that might have to be, should be looked at. But again, in the county's case, I think you guys are in pretty good shape. Also, so that'll be something I would have for the next, for the September meeting. Is that a first Monday again, one again for the holidays? It must be.
Yeah.
So, okay. And then in addition to that, we will put together kind of a working list of what we'll call preliminary plan recommendations, taking into account the old plan, what hasn't been implemented yet, like the recreation, corridor trails, the natural areas plan, anything that comes out of that needs analysis, just to get to, so that we can review those with you guys and get, make sure we're not, or if there's something that you think should be addressed that we include, so we have something of probably a one-page thing that goes through the individual county parks and says these are things that from the old plan that haven't been implemented yet, is it still something that appropriate to think about? For example, the old plan, the one that was done in 1987, had a recommendation for this site to relocate the old town hall. Is that still something somebody's thinking about doing? I imagine it was to put it near where the activity centers are so that people might be able to walk through it or whatever, as opposed to up on the road there. I know there's a trail that goes back to it, but is that something that's still looked at? You know, if someone, you know, does the county have money for that? If a citizen came up and says, why don't you guys move that? Let me write you out a check. You know, does that happen sometimes? But is that something the county would still be looking at doing? But that's one of the, you know, from the plan in 1987, where it was in there. Many other things in the 87 plan have been implemented. For example, there was a major park along the Des Plaines that was recommended. Well, that's Prairie Springs Park now. So it wasn't a county park, but it's a village park, but it needs that gap in the service there, especially for that more urban eastern end. That would be the next thing, and then where we go from this.
Great. So, any questions? Or Mr. Rudy, do you have a comment?
Dave, I know you wanted to discuss the public participation idea or thought and how we...
Well, you know, and since the comprehensive planning law, the big emphasis on getting public input, no requirement for the park plan to get public input from the guidelines provided by the Department of Natural Resources. However, I think you want to, at some point, make an effort to get public input. Our thoughts were that we could go through the process of do the needs analysis, review the preliminary plan recommendations, get your input on that, then prepare the actual plan, which we'll talk about, you know, any new park sites, if any, open space, and park development, trail development, you know, things like I noted there that there's three lakes that don't have meet the DNR guidelines for boat access. We probably recommend that'll be a DNR recommendation if they consider putting some type of boat launch on those sites. But we go through the process and create the plan chapter, which has the recommendations in there and how much acres would be acquired or protected, how you guys would get to look to review that, and then give the staff direction to hold some kind of a public informational meeting then to, and that's how well those are attended. It's been all over the board. I don't know, it's my experience. You get the word out. You guys do have a pretty active UW extension, which you have access to. They're always helpful. But then, at a minimum, I think we want to have some kind of a public informational meeting that gets the word out that you're updating the current county plan, because planning Planning is good for the county for the long term. Indeed, you want to maintain, the county wants to maintain eligibility for stewardship grants, you know, where the state still has money there, it's still in the budget, to go out and get money to help implement, you know, and I know the county's very interested in the trail, two things that I've heard, the trail aspect of it, and then the recreation corridor parkway aspect of that. I think he's has an interest in both of those, where you'd acquire, you know, not that, it wouldn't be like Milwaukee County Parkway lands, where you have park roads and stuff, but you'd have an acquisition along those rivers, where you'd also develop a trail, a multi-use shared trail. But anyway, and then get input and see if people think there's something lacking with the Kuma. Should there be something else at the parks that they think the county's lacking in? West, you know, well, that's one of the things is we have to, the West End Park. You guys are probably going to have a new name for that at some point, right?
So no, it's going to stay there.
West End?
It's going to stay there.
Sounds like a bar.
We've got a huge committee that's working on that, so I don't think we need any more input. So we've got to
I know there's been, I looked through the files, and I know there was a grandiose, you know, go from 235 acres, which it is now, to 500 acres, and it was full blown.
Right.
8 baseball fields, 3 soccer, you know.
Wow.
All kinds of stuff. And then I saw something tweaked down to what you got now, where it's pretty much a parking trail, boat access for fishing, more resource oriented park as opposed to full blown recreation facilities.
Well, it's been that way for at least 5 years. I mean, that's the parks we were talking about this evening, the ball diamonds that we built on, that's a paragraph. So we have switched gears on that to a better spot.
But we want to get the specific recommendations for that. I know I heard some discussion of from one of the staff about bats. Bats are have this kind of a bat study thing up there. And
that's part of it.
Yep. And renewable energy, you know, maybe some examples.
So that's all part of this Green River Committee. I'm not sure if your plan here needs to delve into that. We need this plan, as you said, for stewardship. But we're already taking care of it.
Yeah, but we'd include that,
right,
you know, in the recommendations.
Right.
We'll go through and laundry list each of the county parks, what's left to do, if anything. And that'll be the, you know, that might be the one where there's, you know, there's something left to do. And the more you put in there, the easier it is when you apply for grants if it's in there. We try and write the plan with as much flexibility as possible so that you can interpret without having to go in and do a detailed amendment to the plan, where it's easier to say, yeah, that's in the plan. You know.
Well, I think you have to go.
No, that's more than I wanted to say.
You know where they're at?
Down in the... Is that the one down in the middle of Salem?
Very good.
Okay. Anyway, there's so many down there.
Well, any questions for Mr. Schilling?
You have something, John? I had a question. It's just that on your map there, it's entitled Roman numeral 3-1, and it's the first map to come to. And just in paging through this every evening I was looking at it, in some of the boundaries, notably Long State Recreation Area and New Munster Wildlife Area, are there areas within those that are privately owned lands and are not specifically owned by the county or owned by the state?
Yes. The lands within the blue, red, or green lines that are white are still privately owned.
So, for example, we're taking a look at New Munster Wildlife Area. Now, Dennis, that's right across the street from KD, isn't it?
Yeah, KD is number one.
Yeah, now, that's all low land. That's low.
Not all, no.
Portion of it is.
There's farmland in it. Okay.
So, for example, does the DNR allow hunting down there in the fall and so forth? Are they
Yes.
So how does it work when there are private lands adjoining, just from my own information out of the committee? Is it posted?
That land that you see that's white on the west side of 13 mm-hmm. is owned by a farmer that then plants crops inside 13. Mm-hmm. He's paid by the DNR to leave those crops there for an extended period of time that he's allowed to take your crop.
I see. So. Same thing on the east side, you do a similar
thing? Yeah, that's the same thing.
That's so those lands that show up as white inside those boundaries, then those are the lands that would be, from the DNR's aspect, when there become lands available for the willing seller, willing buyer, those are the lands that the DNR board has kind of given them pre-approval to consider acquiring once they're in those project areas.
Thank you, that's my question.
But there's a lot of highland in that 13.
There is.
Yeah.
Nick, so does KD actually go down past that dam and then underneath the road to that lowland?
That water that passes through there goes into that lowland, becomes part of the Palmer Creek, which is the only designated trout stream in Kenosha County.
Okay.
The Palmer Creek comes out of that marshland, crosses Highway 50, just east of the Wheatland Convenience Store there now.
Okay.
It goes out into the river.
Thank you. That's my question.
Anything else? Dave? Nope. Thank you very much, Freddie.
As we've been doing, approve the chapters as we go.
Okay. Chapter 3 has been presented to us. I have a motion to approve tentatively for the culmination of the whole project to approve this chapter.
Motion to approve chapter 3.
Motion made. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chief of Governance, aye. Also. Unanimous. Thank you very much, Dave.
Thank you.
Move on to facilities. We have four updates.
Well, Frank will take care of the first one on the Courthouse Molinero project.
Okay. Everybody has a copy of the handout for the update.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, we're missing this. But long and short, I added, as in the last week, we've broken it down by zone around the courthouse, the first three pages. And the cover sheet are the third floor or the roof of the courthouse, second floor, and then the first floor. And color code will show what type of work we're doing. For instance, green parapet wall, yellow limestone restoration, gray tuck pointing, ceiling and facade, blue wood scaffolding. But just a synopsis is on the courthouse, zone 8-7, working on the limestone walls with a little parapet. Zone 5 and 11, we're building parapet walls. Zone 2, we're installing the scaffolding that's going to on the front of the courthouse. So we're getting around to that part. As they get done with other parts of scaffolding, we shift it around. On the courthouse zone 5, which is the east staircase entrance, that is not usually used for public entrance, and we also have a ramp back there that's being, we've closed that and taken out the granite stairs, working the foundation of the stairs, and then we'll be rebuilding that now. The Molinero building, which are the next three sheets, see the different zones again, starts from the third floor. We're looking at it from the roof downwards. Zone 8, we're working on the limestone walls below the parapet. Zones 9 through 14, we continue to demo the parapet walls. actually did pretty well lately. The number of employees has gone up to 27, 5 from Illinois, 7 from Kenosha County, and 15 from other parts of Wisconsin. And luckily, we didn't sustain any damage of the work site and scaffolding and everything on the roof was tied down very well by Berglund. So we, everybody was very impressed by that. Questions we got to turn over to Molinaro.
Anything from anyone?
I'm just going to add a couple quick things. Is that Frank referenced that last line, and it really was a big deal because we didn't lose, most of you probably have been to the courthouse since the big storm, and noticed that on the north, or I should say the southeast corner, we lost a tree, a fairly good sized tree that was taken down as that storm. And the scaffolding and everything, a lot of folks were amazed given the intensity of that wind shear that came through, or whatever they're calling it, that it didn't do any damage. And the other thing is, we just in case you hear this, just today, this morning with the storm that came through, we had a little leakage in one of the jury rooms, but they had it buttoned up, I think, within...
It was a conference room in the courthouse. They had some water leakage, but they were on top of it.
Was it even 2 hours, Frank? It took them to less than 2 hours.
It took very responsive. It was an existing part of the roof, but just the traffic up there, as the guys working and stepping, it caused a small opening to open up, but they found it, attached it, and they put a sump pump in that location, so if any water does pull up there, it would be effective. That would be a good point. Berglund's been very responsive.
What type of comments have you had from the people in the courthouse in terms of demolition, noise, that type of thing? Has there been any particular feedback in that area?
Actually, everybody at the courthouse, we've been able to, we have the clerk of courts actually with our weekly meetings as we go through what's going to happen next and where. So she's providing that to the courthouse personnel, the judges. So in a few cases, they've actually moved the judges' court proceedings from one to another. But really, they've been excellent to work with, and as long as we keep them informed ahead of time, it's worthwhile.
Good, thank you.
Anything else? Okay. Parking structure
that never ends. Again, everybody knows that this has been around for, I think it's been open since 2006. I met with the state about 2 weeks ago now, went over all of our basic plans to finish the building, which is basically three things: put the control gates in, get the lights straightened out, and deal with the security issues in the building. They conceptually said everything looked fine to them. We've got estimates now of about $175,000 to complete that work. One of the things they want us to do, though, is I had hoped that we could just take what we need to do, use the original architect to get stuff drawn up for these last little loose ends we've got to do. They really are recommending strongly that we go through a full QBS, a selection process, a formal selection process like we do for a new project, that we do that to select who we're going to have do the design engineering. It's the only way that the monies we expend for that design will be covered by the original grant. So that's going to take a little bit more time. I was hoping that we would get this whole thing buttoned up this year, but the lady I met with told me it's probably going to take them 3 to 6 months to do their approval process once we get the final pieces submitted to them. So it is not likely we're going to get the parking structure buttoned up this year. It's probably going to drag into next year, being realistic about it. It's possible, but not likely that we're going to get it done this year. And the only other piece is that, as I previously reported to the committee, but it might have been prior to it being a public works committee, is that there was $35,000 that they, as a result of an audit, they disallowed for some expenditures that date back to like 2004, 2005. And we internally still have to figure out how we're going to make our match. We're going to have to come up with a package. Once we can get things approved for what it is we want to do, to tie up the loose ends, is what we need to do to make our match. It's only 10%. It was always a 90-10 split. But because $35,000 that was spent a few years back wasn't approved after they went back through and audited it, that money, you know, we're not going to get reimbursed for that. So the ball is my court right now to put together a selection process, run that by the state, get somebody picked, get all the details worked out for bid specifications, get that through their process, and once that's approved, then we can actually put the stuff out for bid and hopefully tie it up. So that's pretty much it.
Do they give us a time frame?
They're saying, like I say, once we select somebody, and then it's going to take them 3 to 6 months. Because actually who I'm dealing with is DAR, which is an independent contractor that DOT contracts with to do all their contract review and audits and so forth. So I got to get it to her, then she's going to take it and get it to the DOT, and then it's fairly elaborate.
So what's the real holdup here? Is it the QPS? Is that the correct acronym?
Well, yeah, now I've got to do a full QPS, which is the same thing we did to select, anytime we select an engineer or a design consultant for a project. I thought, you know, we could just use the same people that did all the original design work. If we do that, we won't get reimbursed for anything for the design piece. And if it was less than $5,000, it probably would be worth us just to do the $5,000 straight up and not go through it. But right now, those costs are estimated at about $15,000 to $18,000 for the three pieces that we need to tie up. So that's significant enough that I think we got to go through the QPS process and dot T's, cross the I's.
So the QPS is something that we do internally as a part of the business practice?
Right. But it's something that they're mandating. It's outlined in the state, I think in the statutes, or at least administrative guidelines, what you have to do. And they're saying we have to follow that, which we do for other projects. I was just, like I say, this thing's so old, and we had all these guys originally in place 4 or 5 years ago. Can't we just use the same? And the answer to that question is no, not if you want to get paid for it.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Demo project.
I'll give an overview and I'll let Ron speak to some of the specifics, but this one's pretty much on track. We lost a little time because there was a few questions that came up in the pre-bid walkthrough by some of the contractors that we had to address. But the bottom line is that the bids came in last Monday, they were due, and then we had Tuesday, it was 4th of July, it was Tuesday, we had a pre-award conference with the apparent low bidder on Friday morning, and we had two of the four folks that bid that were under what we've got in the budget. So there's two viable ones. The one that we're talking with is the apparent low bidder. And we met with him. There's just a few things that we got to work out for his bonding to make sure he's got proper bonding for this project. I'm trying to think of what else we're...
Gravel, we want to find out about grinding the brick.
Right, if he was able to grind, one of the addendums was to take the brick and grind it. And what we wanted to make sure, because his bid was, for that alternate, I should say, was considerably less than the other three bidders, and it appears that he's got that covered.
Said he's going to let him do that?
Yeah, as long as he's got wedding agents there and stuff like that, is part of the...
That's a temporary crushing plant, basically.
That's what it is, yeah.
They're going to let him do it.
I don't know... To be honest, I don't know if that specific question's been asked in the city by him, but it'll be asked as part of the demo.
Yeah, I mean, don't give the guy the bid thinking he can do it, because I don't.
The sound and dust from that.
Well, the city's got to give him a permit for that.
Separate from the overall demo permit, you're saying a separate permit just for the crushing?
Normally. You can't crush. Just go out and start crushing. Anywhere I've ever seen. Gary, right?
There's all kinds of rules and regulations for operating a crushing plant. It's basically the same as operating gravel mining operation.
Right.
So there are all kinds of regulations.
Well, we'll make sure we check that out before
sure
we...
Make sure the city's got a permit, because we can be sitting here like he says, oh, geez, I couldn't get that. Now I'm stuck for 4 months.
Right. Yeah, we'll check, because this week we'd hope to have... there's a bonding issue, like we said. Oh, it's scheduling, because he's got a couple other jobs that he just got from the city. The Atlas Gym on 22nd, that was part of the house that blew up, he just got that job. So we want to make sure that this guy's going to be able to handle it and take, you know, it's not too much for him to bite off. But he was $90,000 less on the base bid and abatement than the next highest bidder. So it's worth taking a few extra days to make sure he's capable of doing it, because it was his base bid and the abatement was about $280,000. So that's where that's at. We will, because we checked, there were some other issues that came up about permitting for straightening out, closing one of the entrances to the parking lot, and some other things that we did check out with the city. There was probably a half dozen different issues we did, but we didn't specifically ask him about the crushing part. So we can make sure that that's covered as well.
Yeah, I've never seen where he doesn't have to have a specific separate permit for that.
Okay. I don't know if there's anything else, Ron, on that, or if there's...
I think we're pretty good on that. We should have our answer by Friday.
That's the goal.
So we'll move on to Corporation Council remodel, relocate.
Well, let Frank talk to that one.
We had a preliminary design back in the quotation, or not the quotation, budgetary phase when they asked us how much it would cost the Corp Council from their present location down in the basement of the courthouse. And just to review the history, that was the area that IT department was moving out of to go into the public safety building. At the time, there's two existing offices down there and a conference room, so they basically needed five offices. So we had a quotation for putting two more or three more offices down there. As it turns out, as we start moving forward in this, turned out we didn't know that the lead attorney had a custom-made desk that was 12 feet long, so we had to relook at our design to see if we could accommodate that. So we've gone back to take a look at that and see with the limitations. We had $50,000 in the budget, so we couldn't go a long while redoing that space, so seeing if we can accommodate it with that furniture. And the two other attorneys also had some custom-made furniture. Also, they moved into lake locations. So, yeah, that's the same kind of reaction. So we've taken pieces and parts and trying to make them work now without having some real elaborate office.
How did you get to a 4-foot desk for that Third Avenue building?
Well, those are the same questions. We didn't know it was there.
Yeah, that's exactly the case, and that was the same thing. It was, since it was custom made, they knew the openings, and they built it in pieces.
In there?
No.
Assembled it in
the pieces. It large, small enough to fit in the openings, not the staircase.
But for that building, he didn't have that in the old office.
No.
So yeah. Sometime during the mid-90s, or I'm not sure exactly when they moved into that building. Was it late 90s?
Oh, late 90s.
Late 90s?
Yeah. It was a historical society.
That I remember. I remember when it was a historical. I didn't know when
Christmas
they moved.
Christmas parties there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ray, now, is this something that the county paid for?
Don't know. I would think.
I would think so, right?
Yeah, I would think, but I don't know.
I'm sure it is, and none of us knew about it. But.
Yeah, it's hard to understand it.
Yeah.
They put it.
So we're going to, basically, we looked at the floor plan last week, and there may actually be a way to accommodate everything so nobody has to get new furniture. Without really, it might actually be less walls involved in constructing, depending on if we can get it to fit. So we're working on the design, because there isn't a lot of money. There's $50,000 to basically remodel that area. The carpeting is in really bad shape, worse than the Register of Deeds area. And we didn't replace it there. But we're going to work with what we got to make it fit.
Mr. Beth, do you have a question?
Yeah, I just wanted to question the what is the benefit of moving them to the basement and what we're going to do with the building that they're currently in?
Yeah, the building that they're currently in is the old historical center. It's basically a turn-of-the-century mansion down on 3rd Avenue. Needs significant work done to keep it afloat. Between the windows, the roof, a number of structural issues, HVAC issues. It's not a good, so the goal is to get them out of there, move them into the courthouse. One, where it'll be more accessible, but two, be able to kind of put that building into cold storage so that we can reduce the cost. And we'll see then what, you know, what goes into the budget this year as far as a proposal to do something with that property. It doesn't appear to fit with any real long-term kind of a thing that the county has, so I'm sure we're going to look to do something to get that out of the portfolio.
This would be a private hand, probably. Yeah.
Didn't we talk about something about putting it up for sale potentially?
We talked about it in a very general sense with the executive, and that's the direction I'm pushing for, because it just makes no sense for us to hold on to that.
One of the suggestions that I would say is if the carpeting is wore out, get rid of it and put new carpet in, especially if you're going to put a desk in that you don't even know is going to fit in there, number one. And number two, why would you put a desk in on old carpeting? Because that would just cost twice as much if you had to replace it later on. So the time to replace carpeting is now. We're not talking about a huge amount of money. So.
Well, we don't know. I don't know if you've got carpet estimates yet or not, Frank, but to put in decent quality carpet that's going to hold up, like some of the stuff that we put in some of the other buildings is pretty darn good. The stuff in the county center is going on, whatever, 15, 16 plus years. Well, it's still solid.
When we remodeled the courthouse, we put all the carpeting in. So, and I believe that carpeting is still fine.
Yeah, if we have money in the budget to do it, obviously we would do it. And hopefully we will have that. But we didn't have that amount of money in for the register of deeds. There wasn't sufficient monies in there. That carpeting was 15 years old. And we did do a decent job of cleaning it up, but it's still, it's the original carpeting that was put in there.
Well, rather than spend it on moving a desk in that we don't even know is going to fit.
Well, I don't think I don't believe we'll have any actual moving costs, because if we do what we did at the public safety building, we use the jail crew for... We actually didn't spend any money on moving, but yes, I know.
It's about.
And then lastly, Corporation Council, when I served on the legislative committee, told me about the situation of the building itself, the conflict between if the city owned the building or the county owned it. He was telling me about a situation way back when, I'm sure you probably remember. Nothing about your age or your service here. But what is the status on the buildings? Who owns it?
Well, we've always owned it. We've always owned it. I think possibly what he was talking to, and maybe it was part of a larger conversation, is there was a conversation last year, I believe, we're going to do some horse trading with the city on some debts that they had with us. And that was going to be part of it. We've always owned the building.
Okay.
They've always owed us the money. So we're going to try to give a way out. But that's what that is. Yeah.
All right.
County owns the building.
Just to clarify one thing, that his desk isn't actually 12 feet. He's got a credenza that's kind of filled out with a big window and back from end to end.
The horse is out of the barn.
So he can actually say that his desk isn't 12 feet, but that credenza.
Right. I'm sure that wasn't part of a discussion like we're having tonight, where we're talking about we don't know if we've got money for carpet. Right.
But anyway, the whole, it's kind of just to give carpet. The IT department was out there with their cubicles. It was all cubicles in that area. You walk in, you don't see where they have their feet underneath their desk. Sure enough, you take all the cubicles out, they're on spot. The quality of carpet is nowhere near where it was down the register. That's kind of what we got for that. But anyway, the whole goal is to have them, we want to finish up this design in the next 2 weeks here and get it out, get it signed off, get it through our engineering phase, get it through the budget process, and have them moved in by the first week of November.
Well, just to remind them, it's not a Gone with the Wind staircase like they have. which is true, that's what they've got. So they got this. This is going to be a little more normal. Any other thing on this update? Now we'll move on to new business facilities. Detention center exterior door.
Ron will cover this one.
When the detention center was built, it was built slab on grade, and that created a problem with the cooling of water in the winter and the salt, and it kind of ate away at all the security doors. So we have a project in the works to replace the doors and clean up the frames and protect them so they'll be in good shape. Part of that project is not only replacing the doors, but grinding down the access to the building and pouring a new approach at each outside door, slant it away from the building. We did that on the main employee entrance 2 years ago, and it held up well, and it seems to be the right way to build. So we were just waiting for the specs to come in from the architects, and then we're going to go out for bid and get this project done this summer.
Who are the architects? They were the architects for the building, weren't they?
No, it was the company out of Pennsylvania.
Yeah. So I think Kimball, that's right, yeah, Kimball.
Kimball?
Kimball, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Kimball was for that building.
So it was a different architect.
Yeah. CUNY was for the county center.
Courthouse remodeling.
Brightondale, courthouse remodeling. They've done a lot of stuff for the county over the years, CUNY being a local firm, but.
But I mean, I guess what I was getting at is they didn't do this properly on these doors, so we wouldn't want to use the same guy.
No, there's a number of things in that building I'm aware of that I wouldn't use them to build a doghouse.
Right.
But they were the premier detention center folks.
Right.
But there's between this and HVAC issues and plumbing issues and.
So we got a good guy figuring this out.
Yes. So this is the correct way to go, and we should be good for your foreseeable future.
Isolation plumbing.
Again, when the building was built, it was constructed with both the domestic water and the hot water system with no isolation belt. So every time we spring a leak, hot water system was put together with Vitalian couplings, and every time there's a temperature or pressure change, we get a leak in the hot water system. In order to fix it, it's necessary to drain the whole building down. They have to drain all the glycol out of the system. It usually takes close to 36 hours to drain the system down, repair the leak, fill it up again. So we put some money in the budget, and it was approved to put some strategic isolation belts on both the hot water and the domestic water system. What we'll do is be able to isolate the building by dorms. So if there's a repair that needs to be done, we can just isolate that dorm to the repairs,
rest of
the building stays
functional. And Rod, I believe this won't get everything isolated the way we want. This will be a good chunk.
Right. Here's two parts of this, $75,000 this year and $75,000 next year.
We're going to request.
If it's approved. And what that will do is we'll get some of the plumbing fixtures that we'll put in the building were less than, quality.
It's like residential grade.
Yeah. So what we hope to do is get it all up to a good commercial grade fixture that again can be repaired going forward.
Any questions for you?
As far as these metallic couplings go, I think we saw some of that when we toured the detention center out there. What's the long range plan for that? Do they all need to be replaced at some point or another? Or?
As we've had these leaks, we've taken the metallic couplings off and we've welded the pipes. So there's no chance of that ever leaking again.
So just on an as needed basis. When they leak,
yes.
You replace them, otherwise you leave them alone.
Right.
Question. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? So we'll move on to Tower Building.
That's the 60th Street Tower Building for the antenna, which we've talked about over the last probably year. There was, again, just to make the committee aware, in case they hear something through the grapevine, I was at a communications meeting, which consists of all the law enforcement and fire agencies, and the fire department would have been June 8th. That was like the first kind of windstorm that we've had now this summer of, I think, three events that we've had. There was a lot of activity that night, and the fire department lost a repeater, or at least they thought they lost a repeater in the 60th Street Tower, And based on their investigation, it appeared that it had something to do with it got too hot in there, which, if you recall, we added air conditioning in those buildings last year. The things haven't been air conditioned until last year. So there were some things that didn't quite add up. So the bottom line is we did an investigation of every little detail. We had added the air conditioning unit in there is on its own separate circuit. We added it. Bottom line is that there was, and it's monitored by the IT department. Every 10 minutes, the temperature is taken inside that building. If there's anything above a defined 95 degrees, is still at the low end of what's considered high for the operating range. If there's anything above 95, it fires out email messages to four different folks in our IT department. There wasn't any temperature issue. The bottom line is that there was the fire department had but they were throwing a lot of stones in the direction of the building not being maintained. Now, there are some issues with that building, as we talked about in the past, the roof, the gutters and soffit and fascia, basically the entire upper part of the structure. We do want to get that repaired, and we're getting quotes now to see if we can actually scramble to do it this year or if it is something we're going to have to budget for next year. But there wasn't any evidence of any water leaking in there. There wasn't any evidence of any heat issues, and it appears that actually there was another piece of their equipment in another site that was the issue. They kind of found that out 2 weeks later. But, like I say, there were some very vocal folks at this meeting, and they were throwing a lot of stones in the building's direction. So if you heard something through the grapevine, I just about finished with the investigation, and it's not the building, although we're going to do some steps to get the building squared away. We're actually looking at updating the electrical in there so that over the years, this is one of those buildings, one of the agencies decides to add something, there's a plug, let's plug it in there. There's been no rhyme or reason to it, so we want to load level all the electrical in there so everything's balanced, everything works the way it's supposed to. All the breakers are identified, and we're working on taking care of that now, just so we can get that straightened out. But again, just so you're aware, because that did happen.
Anything else on that for the tower project? Old business. Development, highways, parks.
The only thing I was going to bring up was that the Green Ribbon Committee did meet on Friday afternoon as well. There was a PowerPoint presentation put on by JJR, the consulting firm that's working with us to develop that plan. That's going to be loaded to the website by the end of the week, and we're going to try to put all the minutes from the Green Ribbon Committees that we've got captured or work groups on there as well, so somebody can go on the website and then really get kind of up to date with whatever's going on. We're planning on, I think right now, bringing back to this committee an initial kind of concept of stuff in September, sometime in September. And it may be, if it makes sense, depending on the length of time, it may be worth having a special meeting. It just depends on, you know, where we're at.
Okay. So, new business. The FEMA money, everyone has that in front of them. Mm-hmm. This is just for, you know, or rain and
how much is this
one? Okay.
We all remember the snowstorm back on January 31st started, and it's February 1st and 2nd. On April 5th, it was declared winter storm disaster by FEMA, which qualified us for FEMA funds. The total amount that you're eligible for is 87.5% of overtime labor, the machinery usage during that overtime period of usage, and then material usage, and also all contracted labor. So for Kenosha County, the total amount that we would receive back is approximately $53,000. Of that amount, there is some spreadsheets on your packet of information. Let's see, it would be about the sixth page of your document. It shows a breakdown of how much of the costs were for parks, facilities, and highways. The amounts that were eligible for this was you had to select the highest 48-hour period of time. So for all divisions, the highest period of time happened to be on the weekends of the 5th and the 6th. So all the labor for the highway division and for the parks was eligible. For the facilities division, we had to actually do a little bit of ciphering with that and figure out who was working on overtime, because many of the facility employees worked during their regular shift to do the cleanup. None of that was eligible for this reimbursement. So on the highway end of it, the total amount that was eligible was $54,902. Of that, we're getting $48,039 back. For the parks and facilities, and they're grouped together because they actually worked on the same projects. They were cleaning up parking facilities and that, and hauling snow away. The total amount of their costs that were eligible was $5,967. Of that, we're getting back $5,212. This is just an estimate of what we're getting back, and what this resolution is asking for, that we first of all be allowed to accept that $53,000. And if the monies we receive are more or less, that administration just be able to modify the amounts to reflect what the actual dollars are. We're just asking permission to accept the funds.
Do you have any questions or a motion?
Motion to accept the funds.
Motion's been made by Mr. Perry to accept the funds. Do I have a second?
A second.
Second by Supervisor Gentz. On the question, any discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? You the governor. I have the original here. So we'll move on. We already did the Chapter 3 Parks. Then our wastewater treatment plant annual reports.
I only printed one copy of the actual report on the last slide. It's a 24-page document. I know Dennis and Chairman Holman and Supervisor Grady are familiar with this. I believe Supervisor O'Day. We have a 10,000-gallon activated sludge wastewater treatment plant up at Braindale that supports the park and the golf course. We have three trained operators within the parks and golf divisions, Rich Heinisch being the one on the site who's actually the operator, the other two being myself and Nick Murphy. But we really don't, I do the reporting, and Nick Murphy's just sort of a spare in case something ever happens. Because this plant does not serve the public, what they ask us to do is, if we were a collection system for a municipality, we would have to bring this report card up to you with a resolution. But being that we just serve ourselves, we don't. So that's why it's a matter of just bringing a memo. The plant right now, if you look at, I included a great sheet in your packet. We're running all straight A's with influent flow and loadings, which is our influent coming in and handling, being able to handle what's coming in with no overflows. Effluent quality is pretty much fecal matter in the outflow of the plant. Effluent quality with TSS, that's total suspended solids, which is grit. Biosolids quality and management, that's pretty much organics and everything else. Staffing, because we have the three operators that are able to do it. Operator certification, because we keep our licenses current. Financial management, because we have the backing of Kenosha County in the event of maintenance or any other mechanical failures at the plant. And collection systems, that consists really of our underground piping and manholes, which I will say something about. We do in a heavy rainstorm get a lot of infiltration because it is 8-inch clay tile, and there are gaps now between those pipes after all this age is settling and everything else. And so far we haven't had an overflow, but as the system ages, the inflow and heavy storm event keeps coming up, but luckily so far we've still been able to handle it. Other than that, I guess I don't think you have to vote on this. I just had to bring it to everyone's attention, so if you have questions, you can ask me.
Does this serve just the Brightondale Lynx clubhouse? Is there anything else associated besides that, or is that the lion's share?
The clubhouse, the shop, and the hut.
Shop, home, shop, home, shop.
The Brightondale shop and the shop.
Right.
And the two parks, you said. Or I should say the park, but the building, the pavilion and the,
oh, okay,
the concession stand.
Services the whole property.
Yep.
Just, yeah. Yep.
I'm assuming that the baseball diamond is
And if I remember properly, and we don't have to, but we might as well do it. When I was on the village board of Twin Lakes, the annual report we did approve, so I think we might as well do that.
Yeah. I would make such a motion, Mr. Chairman, to approve Mr. Rudy's report.
Seconded.
Moved and seconded to approve the annual report for the Brightondale Wastewater Treatment Plant. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries with the governance. Unanimous. Thank you. John? Golf report.
I think pretty good news. June, we were more profitable than last year. We captured almost $50,000 of our profitability towards last year, which now we're actually trending a little bit more profitable than last year. It's not where we want to be, but we are getting better and better. This last week, we made about $6,500, and we are trending that we are earning almost $2.50 at Petrifying Springs, and almost $3 a person more at Brightondale than we were last year. So even though our rounds are down, we're diligently trying to control our costs. We're keeping our staffing very lean, and it's showing off in profitability. So we had a rough spring, but we're working hard on that. Calendar of events. The next big event we have is the Kenosha County Ladies Open this Saturday at Petrifying Springs. So that's the first leg of that, and we're excited about showing off the golf course and the new conditions that we have over there. Next week we have the Kenosha County Junior Open, and then finally we have the Kenosha County Open for everybody on July 29th, 30th, and 31st at Brightondale. So we got a full calendar of events this month with tournaments. Last month, we hosted the WSGA qualifying round for the state open, and we had 33 players, and everybody, including the staff at the WSGA, had a lot of positive comments for us. They commented on how great the course conditions were, how courteous all the clubhouse staff was, and the food that we were serving. So that was very positive, and those are the right kind of people that will help us spread the word on what we have going on. Pipemeyer Concrete has finished installing the new stamped and stained concrete behind the Petrifying Springs clubhouse, and I think it looks great. We also have power washed the front walk and the front wall at Petrifying Springs, and it looks brand new. It just made such a difference. It was all blackened from the years of age, and we just took the power washer and it started coming off, and it made a huge difference on the look over the clubhouse from the road. So it looks great. John talked about the wastewater treatment plant. That's something that we're working on in capital, getting some quotes on getting that line. But we're also working on the wells out at Brightondale. There's been a new ruling on prevailing wage. And so we had to put a little delay on the opening of the bids for Brightondale, but that should be coming up shortly. Also, all the drain tile was installed around the maintenance building at Brightondale, which has made a huge difference with the recent heavy rainfalls. There was an intake problem at Petrifying Springs, same thing that we had at Brightondale. There was just suction there, and we were sucking golf balls off the bottom of the lake into our new pumps. So we put a new intake cover on the water pipe, and we're all set there now. And I've been meeting weekly with Highway 75 construction people, and they're telling me that they were going to start today, but with the rain they didn't. But they're going to start, I think, tomorrow with paving the road between Highway 11 and Highway 142. And they're telling me that they're going to have it done by the end of the week. Not the whole project, but they're going to have the paving in. They're going to lay the blacktop this week in that area. They won't have it painted or the roadside signs down, but they will have that area fully paved. So I'm excited about that. We are getting some, you know, problems with that, not people not wanting to travel on it. I think the road is pretty nice, actually, to travel on. We did a $29 senior specials on Monday and Wednesday just to try and get some more people out there. I think one of the things that's helping us is we have a lot of road signs out saying, you know, open to Brightondale Linkson Park. And I think, you know, that's giving us a little bit of additional exposure. And it's actually, you know, saving some of that hardship from the road construction. So that's what we have going in golf. Oh, I added a little flyer to your packet, too. This shows the golf playable hours is what it goes over. And it shows that, you know, through May that we were down about 37% in our area, 42% just north of us are the golf total playable hours, you know. So it's just something that you guys can review on the back. Also, there's a little green fees, revenue rounds and rate by facility type, and it shows that municipal facilities are taking the biggest hit by not only the rounds being down, but also a lot of facilities have reduced rates, and so we're down, municipal facilities are down 8% for this spring year to date. So, you know, it shows that, you know, if we can be more profitable in this tough, you know, market that we have going this year with the road construction, the weather that we've had, you know, I think that we're on the right path and going in the right direction.
Any questions for Dan? Thank you very much, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Highway Director's report.
Just a little bit about our role in the Kemper Center cleanup. The storm occurred on a Thursday evening, and we basically shut down our operations on Friday and remobilized our equipment and got down there first thing in the morning. And it's kind of hard to describe what it looked like if you didn't see it, but it really was just devastating. I guess the one thing I was happy about through this whole process is that we were able to do all this safely. When we got down there, every electric wire, telephone wire, cable TV, everything was all down, mixed in with these trees that had fallen off of the Kemper property into the road. It was actually a pretty dangerous situation, not knowing whether the wires were live or not. It took quite some time for We Energies to get a representative down there, and even when they showed up, they made no guarantees. They said those wires could go live at any given time. So we worked around that, got a lot of work done on that Friday. We continued to work through today. I think it's in pretty good shape. John and Ray can talk more about that, but at all this time, all the trees on all the highways have just been sitting, so we're gonna do a little bit more at the Kemper Center today and then finally get at cleaning up all the trees that were on the county and state highways today. Unfortunately, we had another storm today and there were trees down throughout pretty much the whole south part of the county, so another little setback, but we are probably going to be at least 2 weeks behind in our paving operation, and we'll look at doing something somehow to try to make up that time, but I mean, you know, this is prime paving time for us in the month of July, so hopefully we'll do something with our hours worked and catch up with that. And of course, with all that work being done, cleaning all the cleanup at the Kemper Center, there's cost involved, and the cost that Highway has incurred through last Friday is $35,214. So it's not an inexpensive operation to clean up a mess like unfortunately was down there. The other thing I just want to touch on a little bit is, as you know, the state budget was approved. There's a lot of items in that budget that are going to affect us. A lot of them are still being interpreted as to how exactly they will affect the county. A few of the things that we're certain of, I'll mention the general transportation aids will go down 9.3%. That translates into about $238,000 less in general transportation aids will receive. The state highway maintenance funding is actually increasing. In the first year of the biennium, it's going up $19 million statewide, and the second year, $7.8 million. So the state is taking care of themselves when it comes to maintenance on highways. There's change in bidding requirements for highways. We are no longer allowed to work outside of Kenosha County, period. We can't go to any other county, any other municipality, and do any work outside of Kenosha County. The prevailing wage law changed where the threshold had been changed to $25,000, where we would be required to pay prevailing wage rates. That has now been raised to $100,000 per project, so that's actually a benefit to us.
For multi-trade
projects. Multi-trade projects, correct. I know last committee meeting I talked just a little bit about the revenue that we do generate by work outside of the maintenance work that we do, and I took a little closer look at the numbers. For example, in 2006, 5 years ago, total revenue highways generated other than routine maintenance was about $670,000. That's doing these additional projects. That over the years has gone down from $670,000 to $536,000 to $230,000 to $224,000. Last year in 2010, it was $56,000. This year, so far, we have no work. So far, zero this year. So it's a huge change in the revenue stream that we've been accustomed to over the years. And I think that was all I had, unless there were any questions about that.
Any questions for Jerry?
Yes. I have a question. It's unrelated to what we just spoke about. Do we have GPS in all vehicles for the county trucks? Or
we
few
have
of them, none?
GPS.
Zero?
None right now. None. We've got money, we're proposing money for next year's budget to make a selection, a specification and selection for a system. Because there's a wide range of how you can go about that, from kind of a real nickel-dime kind of solution, which may not be a solution at all, to a really high-end, and where exactly you want to go. There's a lot of snake oil out there. We just want to make sure we do it right. So that's what we've got proposed for next year's budget, is to do a formal selection process.
So we're looking that into the future?
Yep.
Well, the reason why I ask is, one way or the other, 2 weeks ago, I'm driving home in the middle of the day, and I see a county truck parked in a residential driveway. Okay. Now, I don't know why it was there, but next time I do see it, I'm going to contact somebody, because that kind of bothered me. And it was there for quite a lengthy part-time, because I actually came back and they had to go back to my office, and it was a two-hour kind of time window and framework there, and that truck was still there. So I don't know what the situation was, but, you know, one, as a county board supervisor, it kind of rubbed me the wrong way, and two, as a taxpayer, kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Now, I don't know what the situation is. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody or putting any blame, but, you know.
I would encourage anybody, though, if that situation arises and there's any question, to make a call to me or Gary.
Now, I will.
Let's get it checked out.
Because it was backed in.
If there is a legit reason, whatever, we need to know.
Right. Yeah.
And until we get some of that stuff in place to monitor that, the eyes and ears of the folks, because like you say, you're a supervisor, but if just a general citizen saw that, they're going to jump to...
Yeah, and it wasn't in my district, but Springbrook splits it, you know what I mean? And I actually talked to Supervisor Clark about it, you know. So I just want to bring it to somebody's attention.
I appreciate giving a call right away. Okay. I mean, I don't know what
the
situation was either, but I... certainly would.
And I'm not saying it was a bad situation.
Yeah.
I'm just
saying it may not have been there.
It didn't look like the situation that I should have seen.
But there's a lot of good reasons to have GPS, but you know, people think, I mean, GPS is everywhere, and everyone got it in their car and their cell phone all over the place, but in order for it to be installed on our equipment and serve a useful purpose to us as a management and operations, it's not an expensive thing to do. It needs to be done correctly in order for it to be useful to us. So, and that's why we're kind of taking our time getting into the
system. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Anything else for Gary?
Questions on paving. Did we as a county do L west of 30th Ave? Is that one of our projects?
Yes. Hopefully. Highway L, we have done the binder course on that. There's a number of utilities that need to be adjusted on that road, and there's some connections need to be made at the new 39th Avenue intersection. So we put the binder course on. Now we're waiting for the utilities to finish their adjustments, and then probably sometime after August 1st, we'll put the service course on.
The binder course looks good. Sure, it looks pretty good. KR, we do KR in the recent past?
We did.
Okay. That was this season?
Yes.
Okay. Again, the project looks good. It's, you know, one of these things that it's long overdue and planned to. Okay. Pleased to see it. Okay.
Anything else for Gary?
I'll ask him about that. Was 18th Street.
Correct.
You talked about utility. You're talking about the manhole covers?
The manholes, yes.
That surprised me today.
What's that?
They're 2 or 3 inches down.
Right. Yeah.
I skimmed the first one. Then I rode it way over.
Yeah. The city of Kenosha is going to get in and adjust those. If they do it ahead of time, they're just guessing at what height, and then you end up, they're either too high or too low, and big bumps in the road. We thought, let's take our time, put the leveling course on, then they'll know exactly what height to adjust all the manholes to, and they're going to be in there soon to do that. They got a little setback with the storm, too, otherwise they'd be in there.
Thank you very much, Gary. Yeah.
What's going on with those highway C and the roadway?
That project, based on comments we had at the public informational meeting, we're making some adjustments to the design and some concerns from the locals about having the road closed in the fall. Because of some additional work they're doing on the frontage roads, it would have been an extremely long detour for the farmers during the fall season for them. So, long story short, the project's alive and well. It's just the construction is going to be delayed until next summer.
And I was down with KR today, and it's good shape. Good job.
Just got to finish the shouldering on that. think.
Yeah, we, one of the operations we had to delay doing the Kemper Center cleanup was shouldering on Highway KR. So that will be done this week, hopefully, if we don't get any more storms between now and the end of the week. One other thing real quick, I just wanted to mention, on Thursday's Finance and Administrative Committee meeting, there's going to be a resolution to establish interim employment policies for employees employed by Kenosha County Division of Highways Local 70. So as long as, hopefully you're aware of that, that basically is an interim policy that's going to cover all the collective bargaining items in the contract that no longer are in effect because of the state action.
What everybody's doing is called a handbook.
Yeah, it's to help the employees understand what our policies are going to be. The only comment I would make on that is, from an operational standpoint for us, the sooner this gets resolved, the better. Because if there are adjustments that we need to make, and particularly from a financial standpoint, the sooner we know that, the better, because otherwise it's going to start getting too late in the year and our flexibility goes away. So I just hope that resolution in some form or another can get resolved relatively quickly.
On the two roundabouts on 165, mm-hmm. Are you kept abreast of what's going on there?
Only if there's changes to their plans or schedule, yes.
I was told yesterday that they didn't finish the first one and they already started on the second one, so we both of them are blocked.
Yes and no. Springbrook Road and ML is open still to get through, but 165 is closed at both of the locations, both roundabout locations. But Springbrook Road,
north and south.
North and south is open. The state wanted to close that. Both the village and I persuaded them that probably wasn't going to be a good idea. So that's the situation. That's a change, though, because they were going to completely finish 39th and open that before they closed anything at the Springbrook location. So there's a little bit of change, but eventually they will be done.
Anything else for Gary? All right, we'll move on to Parks, Mr. Rudy.
I guess we can go right straight to an update on the storm damage at Kemper Center. The highway department was down there again this morning, and I think for the better share of today, and they pretty much cleaned up everything that was down, the rest of the trees. I would believe all that's left down is just a few stumps, and I think the parks department is going to finish building them out and running them off with a stumper. And then we'll have a little bit of, more than a little bit, of just grounds restoration. I'm going to see if Gary can spare a roller to try to press some of the butts out just because of the weight of the equipment. And then we'll have to press the rest up with black dirt and seed. I can't say enough good things about Gary's crew. They came down there and the work they did with the mess we had was phenomenal. I looked at that and I figured it was going to be 2 full weeks before we even got all that out of there. And they had 95% of it by last Friday. So in 5 days, I was only able to spare 4 of our men. We only have a 7-man crew at Pets. And I still had a holiday weekend coming right after the event, and I don't run with a full crew any one day because of working employees on the weekends as well. So again, you know, Gary came down there right away in the morning, and I don't think that even Ray or Gary really understood how bad it was. Just me telling them, I don't think that, you know, they had a concept until they come down. But once Gary came, he called in everybody he had to come down there, and he did have a lot of folks on vacation. The first thing they did was open up Third Avenue because it was blocked at both ends. The only way in was 65th. So they cleaned everything off the street and the sidewalk, and then to the north. Down to the south they couldn't because there was just too many wires wound into that mess. But it was an excellent job. They pulled the trees off of the Faulkner building, then it punched holes in the roof and got everything pretty safe. And we were able to get a roofing company to come in and put a couple temporary patches on. I think that right now the youth group will be down there again tomorrow raking. So I think in a day or two, other than the ruts and a few holes where the stumps are, it should look pretty good. There's a lot of roofs that have damage. A lot of them I can't even get up on. That place is sort of an abomination. It's been added on to so many times. There's so many different roofs that have shingles on them. And you can see, those that you can see that are 3 or 4 stories up, you can see the shingles ruffled up. The one in the picture, you can see the one copper roof where it's flipped over like a can of tuna. That's flipped back, but it's still not in position. That's going to take somebody that's skilled in working with that to repair that. I contacted a roofing company to give me an estimate, but apparently they're so darn busy just with the damage that's there, they aren't able to do that at this point. There's about 3 sections of the wrought iron fence in the front that I think the panels can be taken out and straightened and replaced. And then, of course, the large stucco wall over by the Anderson Mansion, the corner of that got knocked off. So all of those things hopefully will fall under insurance. But one thing that I have heard is that we don't, first of all, no disaster was declared. So there won't be any FEMA funding or anything like that available for this event. And also, if there were, I don't believe we met the threshold where we would get any funds from any federal or state sources to help with this. So I think that they'll probably the whole hook for all of the debris cleanup and restoration of the grounds will be on the county staff. Other than that, unless you have any questions, I think that's all I have on that.
The only thing I'd add, that it's not directly related to parks, but it's the storm. I don't know how many of you are aware that when that storm hit, it also took out electric for a good part of the Civic campus. The KCAP building was up and running because it's on a different electrical service, as was the Molinaro building. But the courthouse and the PSB were down. The courthouse was down and under, or I should say the PSB was down and under generator power for the longest amount of time in the county's history, about nearly 24 hours. And everything in both the new and old building, all critical systems functioned the way they were supposed to. That being said, there were some things we definitely learned that we can improve upon, too. So I spent most of the day in the Sheriff's Department office monitoring what was going on down there, because we literally were, there were 300 felons upstairs that we had to make sure at least had basic functions so that we didn't have to come up with a plan to move them somewhere. So it was an interesting day. Bottom line is, like I said, all the critical functions did do what they needed to do, but we learned some stuff that we're going to fix going forward as well. So, go ahead, sir.
Okay, I'll move on to the after dark of the park. The first one at Silver Lake in June was rained out. Nobody showed up. The second one at Petfine Springs, we had just a little over 40 folks come to that one. It was a perfect night. That one was pretty well attended. It wasn't, I think the most we've ever had at one was just a little over 70 people. So I think that even with that, I think they predicted rain that day. So I think 40 folks coming out was still pretty good for that. Our July 4th weekend was the busiest one we've had in 9 years. We figured that we had somewhere between 3,500 and 4,000 people right on Silver Lake Beach. The parks had to close the gates at 12:30. There's just no more capacity in the park for parking. It's good, you know, the last 2 years we've been seeing an increase in park visitors, where we've been progressively watching a decline probably over the last 6 or 7. So it's nice to see that the folks are starting to come back out. Of course, the typical things that happen, you know, on Sunday we had a sewer line plugged in Old Settlers Park, so we had water running out of the buildings, and we were able to get Pat's sanitary to come in on Sunday and jet it. And it really, the line was clover by the flower shop. It wasn't actually in the park, but we had to get it opened up because there was nothing else we could do. When I wrote this report, I just got notice from Terry Miller, the gentleman that designed our disc golf course, that he has a big tournament scheduled for the 23rd and 24th of July. All of our events, if you go to the Pinellas County Parks website, are all listed under events. So if you ever want to see what we've got going on, just go there. So another thing we're working on with Supervisor Underhill and the Village of Paddock Lake and some of the merchants in Paddock Lake is a one-day Oktoberfest at Old Settlers Park. They're shooting for October 1st with German food, beer, and music, and I'm all for that. So we're working on that. I hope we can get that put together. The youth group, East End Crew, they've been planting a lot of trees as pets. We are working there, removing a few ash trees and some of the larger ash tree plantings, and putting trees in that won't be affected by the ash borer of other species, so that when the ash borer does come through, we will have trees there. They've done a lot of other work as well, cleaning and planting trees on the west end. And of course, they've been down to Kemper, as everyone saw in the paper, working down there, raking up all the smaller debris. At KD, this weekend, the Eagle Scout did come in on Sunday and put up the kiosk. He doesn't have the glass door over the bulletin board portion of it yet, but the main structure is up, and I'll have to contact him and see when he can return and do that. The Eagle Scout that's working on the sign, he's slow. He's on it, but he's really slow. He's I've been trying. We do have a gentleman from the highway department that's a woodworker that's volunteered many times, and I passed the name on. And I don't know if the scout is a little bit hesitant to contact him, but I mean, it'd be a big asset to him to help him get rolling with it. Other than that, the local constable, Bob Haas, reported a lot of folks were driving in over the dam and parking over around the lake on the north side and fishing, even when the park wasn't open, and he requested that we put a sign up there letting folks know they can't drive in there, and with the hours or the days that the park is open, which we do have, and it's not in, but we were able to fence that road, and hopefully this week that sign will get put in. And the last thing, two more things, is I attached the Primo Nature Center minutes, and the other thing I put in your packet was what I researched off the computer on geocaching on the internet of hides in our parks, and all the different types of geocaching. Just, I know we had talked about it, and I thought maybe it would be of interest to you folks to just kind of see what that all involves with all the different things. There's quite a few different ones. So I know that the fact that what we found on the internet isn't all of them. I think we would have had to do a lot more research to find them all. But just the numbers that we did find were pretty good. So.
We had some of that Katy Park the first weekend it was open. John, you were talking about the sign. Now, is that the sign that won the sign contest, or is this a different sign?
This is just the signs with the park hours again. They're saying no motorized vehicles allowed beyond this point. It's all one sign. And then again, with the days it's open and the hours, he asked for that to be right down over by the dam, right by that road, so folks know if they...
Well, I'm talking about the Boy Scout.
Oh, no, trail signs. I'm sorry.
That's
the trail heads and the trail markers.
Okay. Then Department of Agriculture and the DNR, where are we with them on the fishery license?
Well, it sounds like the DNR has just kind of dropped out of it because I don't think they want to fight that fight. So we're good with our fish farm license. Everything so far has been very fine.
So how are we pursuing that?
I think for now, I think maybe the best thing to do is leave it as a fish farm right now, because it does give us a lot more control of the lake than we wouldn't have any if the DNR takes it over.
Correct.
So I think at this point, until everybody decides which direction this park is headed and what's best for it, maybe that's the best place for it to be.
Yes, but as far as stocking and things, we're going to have to go away from asking the state for help since they didn't want to.
Right.
So we have to go private here. We have to do something.
Yep.
So I
think it is part of the master plan. That specific issue's got to get addressed, because I know it's been brought up already. That so that as that specific piece of the overall plan having to do with the fish you know, are we in, like John says, for the interim, we'll control it the way we've got it, but as far as what long-term makes the most sense, it should be part of that master plan on what we want to do with that.
Right. Okay, we can't let that lapse for another year. No, we've got people that say fish need to be taken, and you have people that say fish don't, but fish do need to be taken, so we should work on this to get it to be a, so we not only develop the park, but we have to manage that resource. Yeah.
I have one more thing. I know there's been a couple of emails going around about, hurry up and reforestating Kemper. One thing that we would like to do is step back and take a little bit harder look at that and possibly have the folks from the UW Extension make recommendations as what should go in down there and see if there's funding available for it. I know, that in the past, trees just, they've been plopped in down there. You get a memorial tree, there's an opening, stick it in. And I really would like to take a little bit harder look at that, come up with more of a long-term plan.
Yeah.
Just so everybody knows,
John, is there any historical documents for that property that, there was a property called Lorimore in Lake Geneva that I worked on that was an old, first it was a private residence, then it was a monastery. It was developed and it was turned into single family homes, but there was a gatehouse in there. And there was a landscape architecture plan from when that was developed in the 1800s. Is there possibly any old paperwork from Kemper Center?
I don't think there's a plan. From what I understand, almost every tree down there, all the older ones, planted by a graduating class.
Yeah.
And that's why they were so near and dear to them down there. And I fully understand that. I don't believe they really ever had a plan. I think if you go down there and you look at the trees that are there, I think they're trying to find something that was unusual or different to put in because it's there's such a large variety. And I don't know if I know they are an arboretum, and I'm not so sure if doing something on a base like that is the way to go. And I would really, that's why I wanted to talk with the UW and get their advice on this and a few other folks as well.
Right. Yeah, I would almost look at that. I'm sure you'd get some people that would, certainly donate their expertise at time. Because I think something like that, not because it's my business, needs to be taken very seriously and not cutesy. And I think cutesy is what you're talking about when people donate a tree and they'll stick a willow here and a thing there. That's a historical piece of property and it needs to be taken seriously on selection, species. We've got new problems now with certain diseases and things, but I hate to see people just on whims, as you said, plopping things in. So I think we should take that slowly. Anything for Mr. Rudy? All right. Thank you, John. Any other matters that anyone would like to bring before?
I do, Mr. Chairman. Just as far as our agenda goes, and this is a holdover from the former building and grounds, we had a pretty good history when I chaired the committee of making sure that things appeared on the upcoming agenda, so we carried through on certain items. I'm a bit distressed to look at this particular agenda and not see anything that addresses what we talked about, register our deeds, potential security, and talk about potential security monitoring also in the remodel area, basement of the courthouse, which is the witness area where they have a little lounge down there. So can anyone in administration tell me why we don't have that on the agenda tonight?
Yeah, at the last meeting, we said, I gave a report at the last meeting that we were going to do that and make a recommendation in the 2012 budget to address both of those issues. So that's the report I gave at the last meeting.
And that would basically cover any of the, I suppose, monetary sides of it because it's in the budget at that point. My point is I would like to have at least some degree of appraisal as we go along from a structural standpoint of how this potential thing could go together. I mean, we talked about, I think in past meetings, that analog monitoring, if we would decide to do it, would not work. It would have to be digital. So I don't want to get to the point where we're looking at a situation where we have to make a decision as part of the budget when we've not really had it vetted in committee. That's my concern.
Okay, and we did actually, Frank's already got most of that information covered, the digital versus analog.
Right.
We already looked into that stuff because we're starting to put the budget together now.
Right.
So we did that. So we can bring that specific information back to the committee now. It's no problem.
Well, I'd recommend that our next regular meeting, which would be, what, August?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be an agenda item on here.
Yeah.
So let's have that on here and let's go through the protocol.
Yeah.
If any of you committee members have comments or... Mr. Chairman?
No, I would just say if we do that, let's have a little history with it. Because I think that we want to see what you did in the past here. Some of us weren't involved in those discussions. And if there's a need for, you know, any of this. So if we could have some of that history also, see what we're talking about.
The other thing I'd like to see is, generally, when we put together agendas for a Monday meeting, this is the first Monday meeting, the agenda is usually completed no later than what? Thursday of the preceding week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Could I please put on the email list that we could at least send a proposed or tentative agenda on Thursday so we could, committee members interested in
email.
Email, review it so at least we get kind of a preview of what's coming. In view of it, sometimes packets don't come out until, you know, sometimes you don't even get them until Monday every meeting, depending upon the holiday and so forth. We'd like to be ahead of the curve instead of being behind them. So, with your blessing, Mr. Chairman, we'd like to have a heads up no later than Thursday evening on the upcoming agenda. Via email.
I would think that we could email it that day because pretty much everything's electronic and then it's printed to put in the packet. So, and I know the executive committee's working on, I think, a policy for those kinds of things going forward, too, and how everybody's going to get their stuff.
Especially minutes.
Yeah,
minutes. Anything else from anyone? We were. Second? Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moving a second to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks.
I heard it was too quiet for me to hear.